You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
He keeps again. One-on-one. Tackle missed. Touchdown, Trubisky. What a night for number 10.
You're listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back into the First Midwest Bank studio with Pat Boyle, who you'll catch on the Hawks game tonight, 5:30 pregame on NBC Sports Chicago. They're in New Jersey to take on the Devils after a really good win over the Boston Bruins last night. I'm David Kaplan, Danny Zetterman, Chris Black, and thank you to Rob from Prevail Beef Jerky. This is the healthiest beef jerky on the market.
It's fantastic, too.
It is fantastic. And
it's a victory Prevail jerky Friday.
That's it. There you go. Well said. So we just had some spicy Prevail beef jerky, but they got a bunch of different flavors. So thank you for coming by and saying hi, Rob. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Mark in Rockford. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, Cap. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you, Sparky?
Good. Hey, I got your back here, Cap. I was tweeting to Chris and I was tweeting to Danny going into the halftime. I was saying Cap's putting on his I told you so on these because he's coming in today and he is going to rub it in. And I'm glad you're rubbing it in because you deserve it.
It was just a fun game for Chicago Bears fans last night.
Sure was. I got just a few quick things. One, and maybe this is because I'm probably the only University of Delaware alum in the entire state of Illinois outside of Matt Nagy and Bilal Nichols. I'm supporting Matt Nagy. I don't think this talk about his play calling is legitimate. He was the NFL Coach of the Year last year, and I think he's had some problems calling plays because he's had an offensive line that's not working. He's had tight end positions that haven't been working, and he's got a quarterback that just has regressed, and he's tried his best. And so I'm not going to put this on Matt Nagy quite yet. My second point is with those tight ends. Last night, I think one of the biggest plays of that game that sort of made me feel as a Bears fan this is going to be a good game was that 31-yard tight end screen. When I saw that, I was like, all right, we got some things going. Mitch is using his legs, but we got the tight end position going too. And then last but not least, and Chris Black's going to play that X-Files music. I know he's going to. But let me tell you something. Drew Brees and Mitch Trubisky are very similar in how they started their careers. Drew Brees was real rocky. He had trouble with accuracy. He wasn't being given the tools needed to succeed. He would have really, really good games. He'd have really, really bad games. And his rating and his season stats in his first few years are just like Trubisky's. And people like Fat Mike getting on Drew Brees in San Diego, those kinds of people drove him to New Orleans, and now look at him. So stay with Trubisky. I'm a Trubisky truther all the way. That guy's got talent. We've got this. Let's go. Go Bears.
Have a great day, man. Appreciate the call. Have a good weekend. Yeah, that is. We knew that was coming. He mentioned Drew Brees, who's going to go down as one of the 15 greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
That was the guy that Ryan saw in Mitchell Trubisky. Now, we may all laugh and go, well, that's never going to happen. But that was the model quarterback he was looking for.
Yeah,
in fact, he texted Alex Brown. Alex talked about it on the air.
Yeah.
That he texted him that night and said, we're going to develop that kid. He's going to be the next Drew Brees.
The one thing Drew Brees had over Mitchell was a much larger resume at Purdue than Trubisky had at North Carolina.
Correct.
By the way, did you see when Brees went back to Purdue a couple weeks ago? Did you see him address the team?
I did not.
Oh, you want to get into a full lather over what you see with the club dub situation? Which, by the way, I was getting inundated with people and your videos last night that I didn't see a lot of club dub. Was there a lot of a club dub posted last night?
There was
night?
Some club dub posted.
Yeah.
Here's Drew Brees at Purdue passing numbers. First year, only 43 attempts, 19 of 43 for 232 yards, no TDs, one interception. Then the next 3 years, because we talk about Mitch only played 13 games, 1998, 361 for 569, 339 TDs to 20 picks. Okay. The third year, 337 for 554 for just under 4,000 yards, 25 to 12. His senior year, he was 26 to 12. So he's 90 touchdowns to 45 interceptions at Purdue. Not like amazing numbers, but a ton of work.
Yes.
A ton of work. And you know how many rushing attempts he had in college? Like, I think of him as this little guy that just stands back there and slings it. He was full-time starter as a sophomore, 69 carries, 79 as a junior, 95 as a senior. That's a lot of carries in a college schedule. So those are Drew Brees' Purdue numbers. 312-332-3776. David's in Gurnee. What's up, David?
Hey, Cap and PB. Love the show. You guys crack me up every day. You, Zetterman, Black.
Thanks.
Anyways, Trubisky was on point last night. He was throwing dimes. The touchdown to Allen Robinson right between the numbers, the one and the two. The two plays in a row to Javon Wims right on the hands. If, you know, it was good coverage, but if it was, you know, Julio Jones would have made that catch. And then can we praise Eddie Pinheiro for making every kick? He made every kick last night.
All right. But I mean, he made a 35-yard field goal and some extra points. He's a freaking pro kicker.
Come on, David.
It's better. Brett Maher missed one. You know, it'll get his confidence back up. Can we give him just some, you know, it's, you know, the worst kicking season in how long? 17 years for the NFL. Let's get on him and give him some praise.
Hey, David, do you have kids?
Yeah, I have one.
Do you praise them when they go to school and do backflips when they do what they're supposed to
right.
do?
Do you go when they come home? Do you go?
I do.
Yes, you didn't do drugs today. I'm thrilled with you.
Yes, I do.
All right.
I do. They should know that, you know, I support them, and you know, even though they're doing what they're supposed to do, you know, you still gotta tell them. You still gotta let them know that they're doing good.
All right, fair David, enough. You have a good day and a good weekend, okay, bud?
You too. Happy holidays, guys.
Thanks. You too. See ya. Have you done any of your shopping yet?
I have not.
Have you put your tree up yet?
Oh, yeah. Mary put that up a couple weeks ago.
What do you mean Mary put it up?
Mary, I was doing a Hawks game, and that's the way we roll at the Boyle household. She, before we had family in for Thanksgiving, she wanted, because Thanksgiving was as late as it possibly could be, she wanted to show family members from Michigan what our place was going to look like for the holidays. So she set up the tree before Thanksgiving, the weekend
nice.
Before.
Nice. My wife did the same thing. I helped a little.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole tree thing. Like yeah, I didn't grow up with a tree because I'm Jewish, but my wife is not. And so when I married Mindy, we're going to get a tree. So we always had a real tree. And then my mother-in-law was sick and was going through chemo, and you can't have live plants or anything around her with what she had. So we went to Tree Time out in Barrington, got a tree, and this year we had to replace it because some of the lights were burned out. So mm-hmm. we got another Tree Time tree, and I put the star on the top. That was kind of cool moment for me. You know,
the first time you've ever done that?
No, I've done it a couple times, but the kids have always wanted to do that. But I said, I'm doing the star because no one else was home. So
the Star of David, if you will.
Yeah, I guess we could call it that, absolutely. But it, you know what it reminded me of? The movie Miracle, when Herb Brooks came home from practice and they left the star for him to put on the top of the tree. I'm like, yeah. So
hey, so earlier we were talking about how people are stubborn. And if you're in the Mitch camp, that even when he stumbles, you see the positives. And then those that are anti-Mitch, even when he has great games like last night, they've already made their mind up. I have a buddy, okay, my best friend, Ted Kennedy, diehard Michigan guy.
He's a hell of a senator.
We call him the senator. And he drinks like Ted Kennedy. And, you know, he's a huge Michigan guy. I mean,
just the guy who you sent me the picture?
Yeah, so his daughter, Shannon, was recruited by Michigan State to play golf there.
Uh-huh.
So they go for
right
the,
now.
Yeah, they went for the visit 2 days ago.
And he's a Michigan grad.
Michigan grad. And they do their homework. So every coach and whatever that was meeting with this with their group was like, oh, yeah, he went to the other school, that kind of thing. So everybody knew it. Now, it's on the heels of Michigan State losing with Draymond Green night to Duke. Mm-hmm. So you got to think, and that was an embarrassing loss. Mm-hmm. Izzo said so. Tom Izzo's walking around, and he comes in to meet Shannon on her recruiting trip and spend an hour with her, okay? And, you know, they're talking hoops, they're talking the university, golf, the whole nine yard. I mean, here she is, a junior in high school, and arguably one of the top five college basketball coaches after one of his worst losses is spending an hour with you on the recruiting trail.
For a woman's golfer.
Yes. Yes. And so takes a picture with her, whole nine yards. Needless to say, she commits, okay? My buddy calls me, and he's like, yeah. You know, and I hate Tom so much. He goes, I hate Izzo so much. But even after that hour that he was with my daughter and me, I still kind of, you know, I guess I like him a little, but I still hate him. You know, and I'm like, so I'm like, that just shows you where we go with our sports bias.
Right.
That even, you know, in his nicest hour to your daughter, right, you still hold that grudge because
he's a decent guy, but I freaking hate that guy.
Right. Right. So,
no question.
I mean, you're never going to win everybody over. And I thought that was a case in point moment there.
312-332-3776. Back to the phones. And Walt is down at San Antonio listening online. Walter, what's going on?
Oh, Cupcake, it's good to hear your voice.
You
first
too.
Time, long time.
Thanks, man.
I'm more pissed today than I was yesterday. Because all season long, we've wanted Mitch to roll out. All season long, we've wanted to commit to the run. Right now, our season would be totally different if we'd done those two things. And last night, they did them. And I'm more ticked off today than I was yesterday.
Because you're going, if we could go back to the first game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
it would be a totally different season. And that's why I'm not sure Nagy's our guy.
Look, they're making progress. Let's just see where this thing goes, okay?
Oh, Cap, I'm so sick of the Bears making progress. Come on. I mean, they've been making progress with what? Over the last 20 years? Nothing. Nothing.
It's getting better.
Well,
did you hear my thesis earlier? Late to the party. That's kind of the story for the 2019 Bears. Late for everything.
They're not even at the party.
You could argue that. You could make that case.
Yeah,
would they be at the
Nagy's
party?
I don't think Pace is the guy, and I don't think the ownership group is the right one. I mean, they're just happy to be okay.
Hey, man, thanks for listening. Don't be a stranger. Call the show again.
Thanks, man. Bye.
Bye. See you. So we'll get back to these calls in 1 second. I asked you earlier, because you have a Peloton and I have a Peloton.
Yes.
And
I had it first.
Now the actor playing the husband in the controversial Peloton ad now is wondering if he's going to suffer from social media backlash. My 5 seconds of airtime created an array of malicious feedback that is all associated with my face. Okay, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because his wife, they say, is already attractive and fit, that she's trying to appease the husband who bought her the gift by showing a video compilation of her workout sessions. And now the husband's being cast as a villain. I mean, are you serious?
The fact that this is a firestorm issue, and it has been for a bulk of the week, is mind-boggling to me. It's another example that not everyone's going to see eye to eye on certain issues. This, to me, looks like a innocent commercial that shows a product, and he gave it to his wife for Christmas, and she documented the year, and she liked it. And I did not see it as a fat shame or anything to the contrary.
I
did not see that.
That see that, I really think that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. I mean, like, he's sharing some of the tweets he got. It's unbelievable what people are writing.
I mean, how do you not know if before he presents her with the stationary bike for Christmas if she asked for it on her wish list.
Right.
Like, would that have changed if the first shot is him looking at a honey-do list and it's what she would like for Christmas and then, oh, by the way, there it is next to the tree? Does that make this all better because she asked for it?
Right.
I mean, wow. It's, we live in a very critical time. And as we know, Twitter is where idiots go to play. And
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That's why it's nice to stay out of that pig pen every once in a while.
Anyway, 312-332-3776. Dale's in Indianapolis. Hey, Dale, what's up?
Hey, Cap. I think we're raising a bunch of snowflakes, don't you think?
There's no doubt. No doubt.
Hey, last night, that play where Mitch ran into the end zone, did you see the camera angle from behind and how he read that play? He read that the linebacker was going right after Montgomery, so he kept it?
Yeah, he did a great job.
I thought that was an awesome read.
He did.
Why can't he do that more through the game and not telegraph his passes so much?
Look, he's evolving, and let's just hope this last couple 3 weeks has been the jumping off point where the switch has been flipped from when Pat said he was at his low water mark against the Rams.
We can only hope. The playoffs don't look like they're in the cards for this team. It's a pipe dream. I think what?
7.5% it went up to now.
Oh, I thought it was still 2.6.
Patrick Finley just tweeted it. Per Football Outsider, 7.5%. So, we'll see. 312-332-3776. We will have the Philly Godfather with your picks. We'll roll through those quick and take more of your calls because we could take a lot of them. Rideshare Bob's in Skokie. Hey, Rideshare.
Well, good morning, my fellow McNally Park alum, and I am thrilled to eat a little crow, Cap. I called on Tuesday, accused you of drinking the Kool-Aid, and said the Bears would not win another game this year. And, man, am I glad to be wrong.
Yeah, that was a fun game, man. I was watching that game. And just loved that they bounced back after that 17-play drive and went, oh, boy, this may not end well.
Huge. Absolutely huge. And then bounced back after the interception.
Yep.
But as Mr. Wolf said in Pulp Fiction, and I'll clean it up, let's not stop shaking each other's hands just yet. Long way to go. But love the show. And have a good day and a hell of a weekend, Camper.
You too.
Rideshare Rob, before we let you go, as you make your way around Skokie, do you realize you're talking to the former Skokie Bush inspector from back in the day, David Kaplan?
I know that. And Camp and I must have grown up really close to each other because we both played for the same Little League group, McNally Park Little League.
Yep.
So I know that. I think I'm a year older than Camp. You just celebrated 5'9", Camp?
Yes, sir.
I'm 6'0", so... But I do think I struck you out 4 times in one game. I'm pretty sure about that.
I'm sure you did. No problem.
All right,
guys.
See ya. Everybody be well.
You too. Yeah, I was a proud member of the Wrens. That was my first team, the Wrens. We were green and white. Yeah. We had a player on that team that ended up going. He never got to the big leagues. He got hurt in Triple A. But he was a hell of a pitcher, man. Tad Slowick.
Were you playing in the Babe Ruth League, or since Babe Ruth was still playing at the time, did they not name your little league the Babe Ruth League yet?
All right, we'll take a turn around. Wow. Victory Friday brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. We'll get you the weekend plays from the Philly Godfather and roll through more calls. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Bears stay alive with a huge win over the Cowboys, and they remain in the hunt. We're breaking down the ball game.
I love being in the hunt, and I love Bears Victory Fridays, the second in a row. We'll talk all about it, the things that we liked and the schedule ahead. Is it realistic to think about the playoffs? We'll talk about all of that and check in live at Hallis Hall.
Mark Giagreco will join us as well, and I'll take you inside Waddle's World. We start at 2. It's a Victory Friday on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Cap and Company, starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Second and goal, pass, caught, touchdown, Chicago. Robinson. Were Chicago to add to their lead here with a touchdown, and they get the ball to start the second half. Pass is caught for the touchdown, Robinson.
They could put the dagger in the Cowboys here early in this third quarter.
Here's a quick throw to Miller. Good throw. Touchdown. What a drive and what a throw there by Trubisky. He keeps again. One-on-one. Tackle missed. Touchdown, Trubisky. What a night for number 10. Here is an onside kick recovered by Miller. And Anthony Miller is there for Chicago. And the Bears are going to go to 7-6. And the Cowboys will leave Illinois with a record of 6-7.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
There you go. It's a little compilation Chris put together of the best plays from last night as the Chicago Bears dispatched the Dallas Cowboys. Our buddy Bearlissimo sent me a tweet. He said, can you please investigate why the national media says after the Bills beat the Cowboys 26-15, they're legit now. But the Bears win 31-24, 10 points conceded in soft D is that the Cowboys are bad. I'm confused. So,
you know, we're splitting hairs here. Do you really care what Joe Blow on the NFL Network? I mean, at the end of the day, they're 7-6. They're quote-unquote in the hunt. Their chances of making the playoffs are extremely remote. They're going to make a run at it here at Green Bay, Kansas City home, at Minnesota. And, you know, they'll see if they can run the table and make one of the more improbable runs at a playoff berth.
Let me ask you a question. Danny, Chris, give me your take on this. If you were the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, you have not signed Dak Prescott yet to a deal. He has rejected, reportedly, $130 million because he wants $140+. But you could get Andy Dalton in the offseason for whatever he makes, $18 million. Are you paying Dak Prescott $140 million?
I think Dak Prescott is legitimate. And I think the way he's handling, I mean, that place is a dumpster fire right now. I don't think there's a player out there that handles the podium better than Dak.
It's good.
And that is a tough arena to handle it in. To be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. And I think he to me, if you can't make it work, at worst, you franchise tag him. But I don't let that guy walk at all. Not a chance.
Chris, would you give $140 million to Dak Prescott?
Yes.
Danny?
100% absolutely yes.
Okay. Where do you stand on this?
I mean, I know that's the going price for a quarterback, but
why did you utter Andy Dalton's name? Like, what?
Well, I'm just thinking of guys who would be available in the offseason. Andy Dalton's probably going to be moving on.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's not a suitable, like, you know, we're not going to pay Dak, but, you know, Andy's available.
Well, because you could get him for so much.
Well, no kidding, you could get him because he's bad.
I'm just not. Boy, $140 million for that guy I watched last night? God, it's amazing to me what they pay some quarterbacks.
He leads the league in passing yards. He's eighth in the league in touchdowns. Last I checked, Dak Prescott wasn't missing tackles on defense yesterday.
Last
night because the defense stunk.
And I think Boyle made the best point. If you're concerned about the room and the way the guy handles being the quarterback,
he's amazing at that.
He is one of the best in all of football. So, yeah, I mean, listen, my takeaway from last night's game is not that Dak Prescott is not worth a franchise level quarterback contract. That's not my takeaway.
I'm not saying that I don't like him as a player. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just like, wow, that's what guys are getting paid today. Like, I think of, okay, if you're getting $140 million and you're at the top end of the scale, wow, you better be really, really amazing.
Yeah, he is. He is really amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know what more. I mean, you talked about the amazing touchdown pass.
It was a great throw.
So, like, what?
I just
you only see pretty balls off the hands of number 10.
Is he a top 8 quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have to look at the list. I don't know. There's just something about. He's a good player. Like, he's really good.
Don't make us do this, because you don't want to take these calls. Uh-huh. But if Dak was our quarterback, this team would not be in the situation they're in right now.
Probably right. I don't disagree with you. I don't want to pay Mitch $140 million at this point either. Time to talk some handicapping with the Philly Godfather.
You are listening to David Kaplan.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
The Philly Godfather on Cap and Company.
I spend my life trying not to be careless.
The Philly Godfather on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, each week we get him on Fridays throughout the football season and for any big event. And he joins us right now here on Cap and Company. My man, how you doing?
Good, man. Just a little slow this week, but we're getting ready to fire, setting up for the weekend. Hopefully we have a massive weekend.
All right. Your takeaway on what you saw last night, Bears and Cowboys.
I mean, the Cowboys were playing the third game in 12 days, so they were basically beat up coming into a very hostile environment. Their offensive lineman wasn't playing. And the Bears are hungry, man. So, it's basically what I expected. We expected some points being put up on the board. I gave it out last night on a couple radio shows, the over. So the game pretty much played out the way we expected.
All right, let's start with the San Francisco 49ers in New Orleans against the Saints.
Yeah, the odds makers offshore, they opened this line with the 10-2 Saints being small 3-point home favorites over the 49ers. Combined total set at 45.5. And since then, the number was bouncing around all week from 2.5 to 3 before some real heavy money attacked the screen on the dog, which basically forced the books to drop this line down to 2 at some of the sharper offshore betting houses. The bet splits are currently showing a little top heavy with the 49ers getting right around 60% of all tickets punched offshore and in Vegas. And when you break this game down, at first glance, you see two teams with the same exact record and some of the best metrics in the NFL. Offensively, both teams rank 9th and 10th in yards per play, 5th and 9th in overall offensive efficiency, and 2nd and 8th in net yards per play differential. And when it comes to the defensive side, the 49ers are, they got to be arguably the best team in the NFL. I mean, they're number 1 in adjusted sack rate, opponent yards per play, opponent yards per pass attempt, and 2nd in overall defensive efficiency. But the Saints are not really that far behind. They're ranked 7th, 7th, 8th, and 4th in those same exact metrics. So this one was pretty tough for me to handicap. The only huge disparity I found was on defense, where the Saints are really weak in the red zone. They're ranked 20th in the NFL, stopping scoring in the red zone, while the 49ers come in 2nd. They're the 2nd stingiest in the NFL in that metric. Then I looked at, the common opponents and the point differential and all that stuff, and San Francisco's margin of victory is almost 10 points higher than the Saints with a 111-point better differential. So I just think San Fran needs this game. They're coming off a loss against the Ravens, and, I got big futures on the 49ers here. I took them at +3. I took them on the money line. The line's down to 1. I think they win the game. The Saints have won 3 in a row, and they clinched their division. The 49ers are still starving here. So I like the 49ers here, plus the points and on the money line.
All right, Philly, how about the 7-5 Titans at the 6-6 Raiders? You've got Tennessee 5-1 since Ryan Tannehill became the starting quarterback.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're playing some great football. I'm not really in love with the side here. And like you said, they won 5 of their last 6 games. And I think in that stretch, they beat Kansas City. This line opened up in Vegas with the Titans being a small 1-point road favorite. But within 24 hours, we witnessed a ton of money attack the screen, and the number was adjusted a full 2 points. It currently sits painted across your screen with Tennessee laying 3 on the road, which I think might be a little too much here. When I broke the game down, I fired immediately on the over 47. I love the over here. I love the total. If you look at both teams' defensive metrics, starting with the Titans, Tennessee is pretty pedestrian. They rank 18th overall in defensive efficiency, 15th in opponent yards per play. And over recent play, they're giving up 4 more points per game. Their pass rush really isn't scaring anyone either. They're ranked 17th in the adjusted sack rate. And they're going up against the 5th best offensive line in football, when it comes to protecting the quarterback. So I'm expecting Derek Carr to have some time to throw the ball here. The Raiders, on the other hand, are pretty bad on defense. They rank 31st in overall defense, 27th in opponent yards per play, and have been giving up right around 28 points per game over recent play. Their pass rush ranks in the bottom half of the NFL. So Tennessee should have a bunch of time throwing the ball. They're playing great over recent play. And I love the over here. I think they're going to score a ton of points. I think 47 just wasn't enough.
All right. Bengals, Browns. And you got a guy who is not a Baker Mayfield fan in me, but I do have him in my fantasy team. So what do you think happens here?
Yeah, I didn't bet the side, even though the line has dropped 3 points. It opened up 10.5, which was way too high. It's down to 7.5, depending on where you shop. But I think points are going to be scored again in this one. I bet the over 41.5. We all saw Andy Dalton. He gave a big spark to the Bengals last week with that 22-6 upset win over a Jets team that actually has a pretty good defense. They're ranked 10th in overall defensive efficiency. Now they got to travel to Cleveland to face a Browns team that has the same turnover issues the Jets have on the year, but a defense that ranks 7 notches lower in overall defense and has major issues stopping the run. I mean, the Bengals defense, they're probably the worst defense in football, ranked 30th in overall defense, 31st against the pass, 27th versus the run, and dead last in opponent yards per play. And Cincinnati also has some major issues turning the ball over. I think they're the worst team in the turnover differential in the NFL this year. I just think 41.5 is too low. The weather looks to be fine. You got some 15-mile-per-hour winds expected. But with the total that low, I think this game just goes way over the total.
How about the Sunday nighter? You've got the 10-2 Seahawks at the 7-6 Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, if you guys remember the first time around, Seattle squeaked out a 1-point win at home in a game that was really a 50-50 game. It could have went either way. The turnovers were the difference in that game. But if you remember the box score, the Rams had 133 more passing yards and 50 more total yards. So the turnovers really killed them that time. This time around, if you read between the lines, this number again opened up a little too high with the Seahawks laying 2.5 on the road in a divisional game versus a team that's fighting for their playoff lives. I took some plus 1.5 on the Rams for some small paper. This wager would have been a lot higher for me if Russell Wilson wasn't the quarterback for the Seahawks. And when you look at both teams, even though Seattle has 3 more wins on the year, the point differential is almost identical. So I like the Rams here. Their defense is still a top-5 defense. They rank 11 spots higher than the Seahawks. They rank 4th overall in opponent yards per play metric. And even though, you know, L.A. only has 7 wins on the year, they've actually outperformed the market in 8 of 12 games. So I think the Rams win this one. I think they win the game.
That's all right. Bears fans don't want to hear that.
No, they want the Rams to lose. All right, anything else anyone should go out and play, get their feet wet tonight or tomorrow or Sunday?
We went over in the Virginia-Clemson game. We went over 54. It's up to 57.5. I mean, you can bet it if you want, but it has moved 3 points. We took Miami O over Central Michigan +7, and I actually like Georgia +7.5 versus LSU. Their defense is unreal. And I think LSU's going to have a tougher time than people expect. I know 70% of the tickets right now are on LSU. And, I got futures on it from the beginning of the year. But I think this game's going to be tight down there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
All right, man. Have a great weekend. Hope your tickets all cash.
Good luck, guys.
See ya. There he is. That's our guy, the Philly Godfather. And, again, he gave out 49ers plus the points in on the money line. Titans, Raiders, he's going over. Bengals, Browns, he's going over. And he's got the Rams winning the game. So, interesting stuff. 312-332-3776. Let's go back to the phones, and Deshaun, not Watson, is on the phone. Hey, Deshaun.
Hey, what's up, boys? Love the show. How you doing?
Thanks, man. How you doing?
Doing good. So, wanted to touch on Mitch real quick, the quarterback situation. Obviously, over the past, his whole career, with the exception of these past few games, you just want to throw that in the trash. If it were up to me, get rid of him, right? But he has shown progress, has shown promise. These next few games, to me, if he continues to progress, all he has earned is a chance to compete next year. You have to bring in a veteran next year. You have to draft a rookie next year and let him compete.
Yeah,
wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
I'm in agreement with you, Deshaun. Thanks for the call, bud, that I would use one of my draft picks. If there was a quarterback on the board that I liked, I would absolutely get someone in the pipeline. And then you got to have a better backup than Chase Daniel.
Yeah, my top priority would be the veteran quarterback presence to
How
challenge.
How high would you go veteran? Would you, if Andy Dalton gets cut or if Cam Newton gets released? I mean, what level veteran are you going to?
I'm going to look at them all. I'm going to look at Teddy Bridgewater. I'm going to, I guess, look at Mariota. I'm not enamored with, I mean, to me, Bridgewater is the best of the litter.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think his ceiling isn't, you know, extremely high as far as, I don't think he's ever going to be a top. I don't think he's going to be as good as Dak Prescott.
So what if he's going to cost you $18 million a year?
Yeah, it's probably a little rich for my blood considering the state of my salary cap situation.
Correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're going to have to make some decisions. They're going to have to say goodbye to some people, and they're going to have some dead money.
No doubt about it.
I mean, don't you think Trey Burton is?
I'd be surprised if he's back.
Yeah.
Very surprised.
What do you think about Trevathan?
I'd be surprised if he's back.
Yeah.
Although being seriously injured, maybe it lowers his price tag, and maybe you can keep him. But we'll see. They got to keep Kwiatkowski. Absolutely have to hang on to him. 312-332-3776. Don't forget Matt Nagy, top of the hour. Carmen Yerk will be in as well. We'll take a fast timeout and get more of your calls next.